Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s. Also known as the Astrology Hour, on KFOX, 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. Greetings, Southern California. Welcome to yet another exciting edition of Astrological Metaphysical Radio. Hey, I feel better. I had a good tearjerker this morning. You know, once in a while during these Scorpio, Taurus, Aquarius transits, wow, it's time for some of us big people to step down, you know. A lot of times people think they are so powerful, they are so high and mighty, they think that life is so easy, they have it so good. But you know, some of the biggest, most powerful people are the ones that hold the stress in the best, or they don't show it, you know. And once in a while during these fixed transits, it's important just to let it out and cry it out, laugh it out, yell it out, whatever. Get it off your chest, make you feel better, believe me. Okay, today's topic is called the 12 tribes of the zodiac. We are going to discuss the significance of the 12 individual rising signs in the zodiac and a compatibility connected with that, how to understand each and every individual rising sign, and why they do seem to be like 12 tribes, our 12 individual distinguishable vibrations. And I think understanding this topic will definitely allow you to understand people better when knowing what their rising sign is. And we've talked about this before, but today is a little bit more of an advanced topic. Now today is a no forecast day today. I'm not going to do any personal forecasts, and I'm not going to do the Sabian symbols today. Now let's talk about the 12 tribes of the zodiac. For a second, some people thought I was going to say the 12 tribes of Israel. Well, it's not an accident that each one of the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 Hebrew tribes, is aligned to an individual sign of the zodiac. I don't know if you knew that, but that is definitely true, that each and every tribe of Israel has a source from an astrological legacy or astrological vibration. Well, one thing I found out about astrology, and you know, a funny thing that I found out when I first got my chart done and I first became aware that I was a Libra rising. Well, I don't usually get along with Libras as well as I'd like to. In fact, I seem to prefer Scorpios and Virgos and Pisces, and I surround myself with Virgos and Pisces for some reason. Tauruses also seem to be a sign that I align to many times, and occasionally Aquarius, of course. But we do find that we do have our favorite sun signs. We do have our favorite moon signs that we align to. And sometimes we also notice that some signs we don't get along with that well. So when I first found out I was Libra rising, I was very upset about that. But the more I learned about the sign of Libra, the more I realized that I was more of a Libra than anything else. And the longer I've involved myself into the study of astrology for these, gosh, I guess 14, 15 years going on now, where I've been researching astrology as a science, I've come to the conclusion that to understand astrology, to understand vibration, and to understand, I would say, personality factors, and to prove that astrology works, to also understand one's childhood, because I really think to plug into someone's complete life history and to plug in to where they came from, what their past was, what their childhood was like, okay, and the type of person you're really dealing with from child to adult, you must understand the rising sign. And you know, the funny thing about it is that most people on this planet, unfortunately, the majority of the people on this planet don't know their rising signs. I think it's cute that we automatically know our sun signs. I'd say 98% of everyone on Earth knows what their sun sign is. And then there's this massive group of people that know nothing about astrology, and they always are saying, guess my sun sign, you know. And so much emphasis is placed on the sun sign that I think too much emphasis is placed on the sun sign. Because I am more of a rising sign astrologer. In other words, I think if people are going to learn astrology, they should know and understand and respect each other's rising sign. Okay, now let's identify what a rising sign is for those of you that have no idea. You see, this is my personal metaphysical philosophy. My philosophy is that when a baby is born, when a baby comes out of the womb and opens its eyes, starts breathing on its own, the umbilical cord is cut, and its digestive cycle begins on its own, no longer the waste products going through to the mother from the umbilical cord and such, but the digestive process and the breathing process has now begun for the child. It's totally dependent on its own. It's independent of any other effect. I do believe that something very magical happens at that moment. The moment of birth, the moment of first breath, the moment of animation, and the moment that the body seems to turn on without having to be dependent on any other source or any other host. And what I feel happens is I feel that there is a lightning bolt effect, literally a lightning bolt effect. Maybe that is why most babies, as sensitive and vulnerable as we are when we're children, when we're babies, right, that when they come out, they do come out crying or laughing or emotional, because I would think it would be sort of traumatic for your soul, for your consciousness, to be reduced and struck dumb and actually to manifest inside of a vehicle that really has a blank circuit board. Okay, because babies, of course, the brains are just developed as little babies, and they're ready for tons of input, and it's like taking a massive computer and putting it into a new system that has no memory. So I think this moment is so magical to me. I've researched this, and I remember exactly when I did jump into baby Farley when I was born. That's why I know this system works for me, for sure. But it is so incredible. It is so incredible to understand that where the planets are at birth, where the sun is located is important, where the moon is located, where Mercury and Venus and Mars, where all the planets are located in their respective signs, depending on where they are at that moment, is so important. But it's all funneled. It is all focused. It is all channeled through that one point in the eastern horizon that we call the rising sign. If you walk outside, or if you are outside right now, I want you to find the east and look to the east. Because when I announced the news this morning, I believe I announced it was a Leo 8. And it's only been about 12 minutes, so the rising has only moved about 3 degrees. So now Leo 11 is on the horizon. Let's see. In a 2-hour period, it takes 2 hours for one full sign to pass the horizon. And one full sign being 30 degrees, then I would say to go that 30 degrees in 120 minutes, you're talking 1 degree of a sign of the zodiac takes 4 minutes to pass. So in other words, in 1 hour, we'll go through 15 degrees of a sign. So like from the astrology hour, it maybe starts at an 8 Leo rising. By the time 1 o'clock rolls around, we had 15 degrees, it will be 23 Leo. See? Then by the time 2 o'clock rolls around, it's 8 Virgo. See? And then when 4 o'clock rolls around, it's 8 Libra on the horizon. See, like, you can actually follow what sign is on the eastern horizon any given moment by knowing this formula. And, you know, just basically or briefly, if you want to know what the starting point is, well, you have to know where the sun is. For example, let's hypothesize and say that the sun is in Taurus today, right? Well, from 6 to 8 in the morning, it's sunrise. So that 30 degrees of Taurus would rise, of course, with the sun from 6 to 8. And we go from 8 to 10, we're in Gemini. From 10 to 12, we're in Cancer. And then from 12 to 2, approximately, we're in Leo. And, you know, it changes because, as you know, the sun isn't in zero Taurus every day. In fact, it moves 1 degree a day. So you have to remember that the sun at 6 to 8 in the morning, for example, would be located at 12 Taurus. So from 6 to 8, it would go from 12 Taurus to 12 Gemini. From 8 to 10, it would be 12 Gemini to 12 Cancer. Then from 10 to 12, 12 Cancer to 12 Leo. And I did announce 8 Leo rising at 12 noon, and that's how it works. So you can actually estimate the rising sign of any given day. I wouldn't suggest you estimate the rising sign of a child or a baby or yourself when you were born, because time zones are involved, and you might have been born in Madagascar or India or something. So that's why we actually use trigonometry and calculus to exactly calculate that exact moment of birth to get the rising. Now, people say, why is the rising so important, Farley? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the Earth happens to be spinning in that direction. That's right. We are spinning towards the east. In other words, the Earth is rotating in that direction. That is why everything is coming up. It's not the sun and the moon that is moving. It is the Earth that is moving. And the sun rises and its sun sets because of the Earth's rotation. I want you to remember that, because a lot of people forget that. So it makes sense to me, and I have also proven this to be true, that for the soul of a being to make its final imprint on any child, it enters, that's right, from the east, because that's the direction the Earth is spinning. So it enters from the eastern horizon. And that's why the rising sign shows us that point of entry into the soul. Your natal effect happens when that baby takes its first breath and sucks in that soul and all that, the elements of that soul from the east. Now, I will say this. I do feel that there's a multidimensional part of the self that is inside of the baby during its growth period, because maybe you don't know this, but once conception does take place, which I feel is God's creativity at its highest height, that the magical circuit seed begins to grow. A lot of people will disagree and say, well, there's no soul in the baby, but I would say there is a root to the soul in the baby, the roots of the soul. I mean, we can really get technical here and get biological and make people seem like plants here, and maybe the roots don't have as much consciousness as the child would have when it would be born, for sure, but it's still, the root of the soul is planted, and the astral cord is also anchored. And on the end of that astral cord is the final imprint, the astral body, which has a magnificent effect on designating who and what the human being is, because the astral body is that part of the multidimensional soul that animates the baby and the person. All right? So I want you to know that when you're born, and when you get yourself charted, and when we find out, when we discover what your chart is and what your rising sign is, that rising sign is important because that tells us the point of entry of the soul from space, from outer space, where it's coming from. Because the soul comes from beyond this dimension, then it becomes the entire dimension, then it is reduced down to the individual, and it finally enters the baby from the eastern horizon. And that is why we call that the rising or the ascendant. When you get your chart, you will notice in the body of your chart, it will say somewhere in the report, ascendant in, and then it'll give you a sign. Like mine says, ascendant in Libra, and that way will explain to you the basic quality of a Libra rising. So, you know, it depends. Like if you were born at sunrise, you're probably a double. You know, if you're a Taurus and you were born around sunrise, you probably have Taurus sun, and because sun was rising, you would be, that's right, Taurus rising. If you were born at sunset, you'd probably have the sign opposite your sun sign. Like if you were born today, Taurus sun sign, at sunset between 6 and 8, it would be Scorpio rising. See how it works? And the rising is very, very important because the rising, as far as I'm concerned, is where all the planetary influences and all the planetary vibrations, including the sun and the moon, are focused and funneled and channeled. So to understand astrology, you must understand the rising. That's why I tell people, find your rising sign and memorize it by sign and degree, because this is your identity point for this life cycle. Now, if you want to find your rising sign on your astroscope, then just look at the wheel and then put your hand on the far left page and the far left edge of the page, then find the middle of the wheel on the left edge. If you were looking at your wheel like it was a clock face, then it would be exactly where the 9 would be on that clock face. Now, in the next segment of this show, we're going to discuss the individual influences of each of the 12 rising signs and why understanding rising vibration is so critical in understanding differences that people share. Because the rising sign, being the identity point, being the personality point, the uniqueness point, is what really separates us. The rising sign designates the illusion of separation that we have chosen as far as appearance and personality and hair color and height and weight and environmental factors and all that stuff. So in order to understand this illusion of separation metaphysically that we have chosen and to understand how this dimension has been designed mechanically speaking, you must understand the mechanics of the rising sign. And like I said, today is a no forecast day. I welcome your questions for sure on this topic or any topic you might have astrologically, metaphysically, karmically, or anything concerning the mysteries of the unknown, life or death. We've really explained to you here in the first part of the show what the definition of rising is and why it is so significant. And at this point, now I want you to know, of course, because there are 12 signs in the zodiac, 12 rising signs will pass through the horizon in one full circle of the Earth's rotation. So in any given birth date or any given day, there's a possibility of having any one of the 12 rising signs per day. That's why you'll get a Taurus sun with Aries rising and a Taurus sun with Taurus rising and a Taurus sun sign with Gemini rising and a Taurus sun with Cancer rising and a Taurus Leo rising. That's why when we introduce people on the air, sometimes we'll say, well, we got a Virgo with Pisces rising on the phone or a Leo with Libra rising or a Scorpio with Sag rising. And really, to understand who people are, what they are, where they're coming from, what their vibration is, you should really know what their three majors are. Now, the three majors in any chart are the sun sign, which you all know, you know, even if whether you got your chart done or not, the moon sign, which reflects your emotional vibration. The sun reflects your soul and where you're coming from as far as your soul's path is concerned. Your moon is your emotional vibration. And then the rising sign is the other third major, which is what I explained to you today, the personality factor, the environmental factor, and the illusion of separation factor. So that's why if you know anything in your chart, you should know, for example, like I am a Leo sun with Scorpio moon and Libra rising. Those are my three majors. If two out of three of those majors are the same sign, you would be called a double of that sign. Like a Pisces sun with a Pisces moon and a Virgo rising would be called a double Pisces Virgo rising. Once in a while, you find a person born with sun and moon both rising in the same sign early in the morning, which might make them a triple of that sign. Like Libra sun, Libra moon, Libra rising, that would be a triple Libra, or a heck of a lot of Libra. But anyway, to get down back to this topic here, the 12 tribes of the zodiac, to really understand the differences between people on this planet, not only do we have differences, of course, through race and religion and through ethnic background and such and nationalities and such, but there's also rising sign differentiation, because each of the 12 rising signs will come from a different point of view. And that's why some of them get along and some of them don't. And in this segment, we're going to explain to you who's compatible and who's not. For example, the Aries rising people typically are focused on what the vibration of Aries is all about. Appearance, high energy, go-getterness, right? Pioneering, volunteers, and many times the physical. Now, because Aries is a fire sign, we do find that Aries rising does get along best with its own tribe, with its own sign. So that's why Aries rising people in relationships that are going with other Aries rising people will get along just fine. Now also, if there's another fire rising, because Aries is a fire rising, Aries rising would best get along with Leo or Sag rising. That's why my mom, being an Aries rising, my dad being a Sag rising, have the next best comparison for compatibility. So no matter what else goes on in their charts, and they have moon squares and everything else there, their Aries-Sag rising combination that makes their tribes get along with each other. See how that works? Because see, some Aries rising people don't get along with certain rising signs. Like Aries rising will not go as well with the risings that square it. Like Cancer and like Capricorn rising, they would be like at odds with Aries rising or enemy tribes. See, it's just like Indians, so I want to make it easy for you. So Aries goes with Leo and Sag and Aries, and it has a problem with Cancer and Capricorn. And sometimes Aries will get along with its opposite tribe, which is Libra rising. Sometimes. And the rest of them are big question marks or challenges. If I don't mention anything in a comparison grouping, then there's a question mark or a challenge or unknown factors involved. Taurus risings are hug-a-bears, and they are practical, more ethical. This is an Earth rising sign. Like I say, they get along best with their own family, with their own tribe. Taurus and Taurus rising go well together. And the Taurus risings can be stubborn and hardworking and very career-oriented, very love-oriented people. And they are best suited, if not with Taurus rising, with the other two Earth risings of Capricorn and Virgo risings. They would have problems with the signs that squares Taurus, which would be Leo rising and Aquarius rising. There could be lots of fighting and conflict, battling, even physical problems between two signs. We're talking fist fights here. And sometimes Taurus will get along with its opposite, which is Scorpio rising. Sometimes that will work, as long as they don't push each other off the fence. Gemini risings are talk-a-bears. They're talkative, communicative thinkers. They're busybodies. They're people that like to keep busy. They're very mental, extremely mental, usually dress casual. Sometimes they get dressed up, but they're like in uniforms many of the times. They wear a lot of the same clothing often. You know, they change their clothes, but they just like to stay in similar uniforms. And they're more comfortable as far as not being as practical and ethical as the Aries and the Taurus. They like to be practical and ethical when it comes to speaking and articulation and such. Gemini risings get along best with their own rising tribe, Gemini rising, but they will also relate to the other air signs, Aquarius and Libra rising, because of all the talking going on there. And once in a while, Gemini will relate to its opposite rising tribe, Sag rising. Also, Gemini will have a problem with the two risings that square it, Pisces on one end and Virgo on the other. Cancers are very sensitive, vulnerable risings. They are many times tied to the home and the mother, and they get along best with the other two water risings of Scorpio and Pisces. They sometimes will relate to their opposite Capricorn rising. Cancer rising will have a problem with Aries rising and also Libra rising. Leo risings is a fire rising, very go-getter, very dominant, management-oriented. They like to have fun, extrovert, gregarious, and such, can be stubborn. They get along best with their own vibration, Leo rising, or with Sag or Aries as a complement, the other two fire signs. Sometimes Leo rising will get along with Aquarius rising, but not always. They have a big problem with the risings that square themselves, which would be either Scorpio on one end or Taurus rising on the other. Virgo risings are very hardworking, the hardest working of all the rising signs, very critical and analytical, and also, I would say, would serve people they love. Virgo risings get along best with their own rising complement, Virgo. Also, Taurus and Capricorn might make it as good matches, They occasionally will make it with their opposite, Pisces rising, although that gets kind of crazy, and they will have problems with Gemini or with Sag risings. Libra risings are very affable, they're very loving, they're very much into beauty and balance and communication and intelligence. They get along best with their own sign vibration, Libra rising. Aquarius and Gemini rising come in second as far as compatibility for Libra. They may make it with an Aries rising as their opposites. The problem they will be with Cancer rising and also with Capricorn rising. Scorpio rising is a water rising, very intense, very mysterious, very passionate and compassionate, sometimes also stubborn but business-oriented people. They get along best with their own rising vibration, Scorpio rising. Their best suited match would be either Pisces or Cancer next to that, the other water risings. They occasionally will get along with their opposite, Taurus rising. They will have problems with Leo and Aquarius rising. Sagittarius rising is very independent, optimistic, travel-oriented, sometimes comedians, also into sports, usually into having a good time. And they would get along best with their own rising sign, Sag. Next vibration would be the other fire signs, Leo or Aries. They would have a problem with Gemini or Virgo rising people, and they also would sometimes get along with their opposite, Gemini rising. Virgo and Pisces are the ones that they would have the problem with for Sag rising. See, this is great. You can't tell the Indians unless you know which tribes get along with which and what. That's why this show is actually excellent to record. And then finally, let's see, we got Capricorn rising, which is the career rising sign, the practical, ethical, off-the-wall sense of humor person, skin-sensitive people, bone-sensitive people, knee-sensitive people. And they get along best with their own rising sign, Capricorn. Second best would be their earth sign complements, Virgo and Taurus. They occasionally get along with Cancer rising, their opposites, and they'd have problems with Aries and Libra rising, their stress points. Aquarius risings and air rising, very stubborn, very intellectual, very fun-loving and subject to change at any given moment, totally unpredictable, extremely mental. They get along best with their own rising sign vibration, Aquarius. Second best would be Gemini and Libra. They would have a problem with their stress risings, Taurus and Scorpio, occasionally getting along with Leo risings, they're opposite if they can make a peace with these people. And finally, Pisces rising. Pisces rising people, the most sensitive and vulnerable, extremely psychic and intuitive, can be subject to self-destructive behavior if they're not spiritual and if they're not into religious or spiritual beliefs and meditation. They get along best with their own rising sign, Pisces. Second best would be the water complements, Scorpio and Cancer. They might get along occasionally with Virgo, their opposite. They would have a problem with Sag and Gemini rising. Okay, so there's your topic, the 12 tribes of the zodiac, the 12 rising signs, so important in understanding astrology as a science. Thank you for your support, because you really do keep us on the air. Time to go to Jennifer now, finally on line one. Thank you for being so patient, Jen.
Hi, I'd like to know what you think about the earthquake prediction.
Well, you know, I predicted some quakes over the weekend that happened. Were you aware of that?
I didn't know that, no.
Yeah, I gave an earthquake watch on Friday's show, and there were 3 quakes over the weekend, most of them in the ocean, one off San Clemente. They weren't big ones.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly, I'm going to be on Ion LA, at least they told me I was, on May 5th at 7:30, Channel 7, talking all about the earthquakes and Nostradamus. I think the Nostradamus stuff is a hoax, and I think the movie that was done on him is a blasphemy, and there's disclaimers all over that movie. I don't think Los Angeles is going to be struck with a catastrophic quake in May or any time this year. If anything, I believe either Japan will be affected by a major quake, New York, or one of the other cities in New York State that would be affected, because that would be referred to more as the new city. Hiroshima and Nagasaki are also rebuilt cities that would be referred to as the new city. Also Tokyo and Berlin, because they were bombed out, they're also new cities. I don't think Los Angeles is the new city, and I don't think people should worry about it, and I'm not going to leave town except for one weekend when I have an affair to go to in St. Louis.
Okay, because there are other psychics besides Nostradamus saying this, that there is going to be a big earthquake.
Well, I'm not trying to rattle my blade any or anything, but as far as I know, I'm the only person in the world that has predicted all the California earthquakes in the last 10 months,
mm-hmm.
and I don't see one. So if you want to manifest one, you can go ahead, and I may be wrong, but I don't feel that there's going to be one astrologically. I know LA's chart is not being affected as severely as it was last October. Thank you.
Okay.
Annie's on line two. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine, Farley. How are you?
I'm shaking.
I have a question for you. I've always heard Not always, but I have heard that there is another planet out there that has not been found, and that this planet is the ruler, actually the ruler of Virgo. If this is true, what will happen? What will be the difference in the Virgos once this planet is found?
Well, I don't believe there's any other planets out there, because with the big telescopes and the computers they have now, if there was a planet out there, then it would be creating a trail in the heavens. In other words, you see, a planet, from our point of view, would black out certain stars in the background as it makes its orbit. Is that clear to you?
Well, I can understand.
Do you understand that? In other words, when you look at the moon as it moves, it covers up things when it moves through space. And even little Pluto, through a big telescope, will also cover up a lot of stars as it orbits the Earth. That's how these planets were discovered. And I know that scientists have been searching for years for another planet out there, and I just don't believe there's one out there. I do believe Mercury is the ruler of Virgo, and I do believe that Mercury also is the ruler of Gemini. And if there's another planet that is found to rule these signs sometime in the future, it's not going to change the important historical significance of Mercury as a historical lord of Virgo and Gemini. Okay?
Then it won't change the vibrations or anything.
Well, you see, even though Mars rules Aries, it's still an ancient lord and still intimately connected to Scorpio, because before Pluto was discovered, Mars ruled Aries and Scorpio both. That's why Mars has such a sexual effect to it, because of its historical significance and connection to Scorpio. Same with Mercury. Mercury will always have an intimate bond to Gemini and Virgo, even if there is another planet discovered. Okay?
Interesting. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Okay. Let's go to our next caller now, Judy on line 3. Hi, Jude.
Hi, Farley. It's great to talk to you.
Well, same here.
First of all, I want to thank you for your subject today.
Oh, I
think it's so right on. I've only been studying astrology seriously for about a year and a half. And I got into it because I didn't feel like a Virgo.
Uh-huh.
And my rising is Sagittarius.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't feel like a Virgo.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Since I've gotten into it, I've been concerned about our karma concerning the American Indian.
Mm-hmm.
For what we... Do you think possibly our Civil War was our payback for what we did to the Indian?
Well, I think it partially is. But the problem is that a lot of the genocide happened after the Civil War. I mean, there was a lot of problems before the Civil War, but after the Civil War, when the fighting was done from 1865 to almost close to 1890, for like 25 years, the slaughtering was incredible because the Western states became more and more heavily populated, and that's when the Western Indians were pushed off their lands. So I figure from like, I guess about 1500 to 1890, there must have been 20 or 30 million Indians slaughtered by, for whatever reason. And frankly, I don't think the Civil War is payment enough. I would expect that America will probably last for quite some time. But when and if this empire ever does change or come to an end, if people are subject to death or whatever, those in control, those in power, those are still who are obsessed with colonization of other parts of this planet or whatever, then I would expect the karmic retribution from the Indian massacre would then take place. That's why nuclear war scares me in a way. I don't think there would be a total nuclear war, but I do think that the power bureaucratic centers, the business centers, might be more affected by a limited war. And I do think that when and if we ever do have a change in this nation, that the Indian culture will return to America and will dominate America in the Golden Age.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you very much.
That was an excellent question, Judy.
All right. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Richard now on line 4. Hi, Rich.
Hi. How you doing, Farley?
Excellent.
I have a question about the elements regarding the rising sign.
Yeah.
I'm a Gemini rising, which is an air.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Pisces, which is water, on my sun sign. And my moon is Aries, which is fire. What is the interpretation of having the three completely different elements in relation to, like, having a fire and water going into an air rising?
Well, see, it just so happens that the Pisces-Aries combination is compatible because that fire-water happens to flow.
Okay.
If it was a Sag-Pisces, then that's a fire-water that would conflict. Actually, the Aries-Gemini is compatible too, so that is also a fire-air that's fluid. It's the rising sun that's incompatible. It's the Pisces-Gemini force that can create the stress and the confusion and the uncenteredness and the anxiety that could affect you from being at full potential, we might say.
I see.
Okay?
Okay, Farley. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. Yeah, some fire and water get along, and some fire and air get along, and some fire and earth get along, and some earth and water get along, and some air and water get along, and then Similar combinations of all of the above do not. You just have to keep studying astrology and listen to the show to find out which is which. Elizabeth on line 6. Hi, dear.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. This may be too advanced. How do you determine the rising in a solar return?
Oh, God, that's not advanced at all. What we do, we have to use a computer. What is your sun sign, for example?
Leo, 1735.
Okay, so what we do is we'll take the computer and we'll go ahead and we'll keep on putting in times, trial and error, to find out exactly what moment this year the sun will return to Leo, 17 degrees, 35 minutes. Let's say it might be 5 p.m., that's when, on your birth date, that's when the sun would return. It might take us a while to get to 5 p.m. See, like we might put in a 4 p.m. and then a 6 p.m. and say, oh, we got to subtract to get closer to that, then put in a 4:45 and then maybe a 5:10. Then finally we'll zero in at 5 o'clock sharp. We finally find that the sun has returned to Leo at 17 degrees, 35 minutes. Well, after we've zeroed in on what time the sun is back, then we just simply look to see on our calculations where the rising is at that moment.
Right.
And that's how we find the rising degree.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Yeah.
Thank you.
It can't be done
no.
mathematically without taking hours, I suppose.
Well, exactly.
Right.
It would take a long time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Gosh, I'm really... You know what? The reason why I love Mondays... See, Monday historically has been a show we usually have not had our biggest listening audience. But now that we have a topic with a no forecast question answer period, I think people really bask in Monday shows. And so do I, because a lot of information does come across. That's why Monday is a day you should definitely record every Monday. Let's go to Gail on line 8. Hi, Gail. How are you?
I'm just fine. Thank you.
Do you believe the information coming through today?
Oh, it's wonderful.
It's amazing.
I really love the topic. And I had a couple of comments that I've been thinking about for a long time. I've sent away for my solar return for 2 years in a row now, and I think I can really understand other rising signs from the rising signs I've had in my solar return chart.
Uh-huh.
2 years ago, I was a Virgo rising, and I about drove myself crazy with being detail-oriented. This year, I'm a Gemini rising, and I feel like a, pardon the expression, total airhead sometimes.
See, you're getting more evolved and very psychic and spiritual when you can plug into that solar return chart, I'll tell you.
Very educational. And another observation I wanted to make is you've said that the rising sign is the I am point for each individual, the God point.
Right.
Isn't it interesting that some religions bow to the east when they pray?
Oh, my God. You know, I just got a vibe chill when you said that. That's funny.
Okay, well, that's all I had to say. Keep up the good work.
That's it, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Now, wait a minute, Gail. That was such a selfless thing. So I'm going to call you up after the show. We're going to give you a book and have you come down here.
I am so excited.
Okay. I got so much energy from that call that I have to have you down here. Okay.
Oh, wonderful.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's go to Jackie on line 1. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Farley. How you doing?
Excellent.
Speaking of ascendants, if you put a man's Venus on a female's ascendant and the same man's Mars on her descendant, what does that do to the relationship?
Well, first of all, that's a very good question. A lot of the reasons why people fall in love or why they are attracted to other people, you got it, it's because their Venus is sitting on a person's ascendant. One of my best friends in the world, Roger Reinhardt, has his Cancer rising right under my Venus in Cancer. And of course, we're just friends, but I love him to death because of that, you know. And a lot of times you will find Venus on the ascendant in any comparison is very compatible. Mars in the descendant, if it's in the seventh house, can also show someone that you will have a karma within a relationship. So that's very powerful. You know, Venus in the ascendant and Mars in the ascendant, it could make a match. It could even make a marriage, too.
I see. Okay, Farley, you're doing a great job, and I'm enjoying the show.
Thank you.
Thank you, darling.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Marianne on line 3. Hi, Marianne.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, thanks. I have a question for you about the civilization of Atlantis.
Yeah.
I was wondering, during the time, I was reading a book about it, and they're saying that during the time of their age, it was during the age of Leo. I was reading in this one particular book I was reading, and I was wondering if now that we're in the age of Aquarius and it's in its opposite sign, is some of the karma coming back for us that we have to deal with now that's paying for some of the stuff that happened then?
Let me explain to you about the ages, okay? An age is called a great month, okay, which lasts 2,000 years. And a great year is 12 ages, which is 24,000 years. From what I remember, the entire civilization of Atlantis existed during several great years. In other words, one of their high-tech civilizations, the most recent one, was supposedly went down like 24,000 years ago, or during their last age of Aquarius. Went through all the ages, all 12 ages. and ended during the age of Aquarius. That's from what I have learned and studied. Now, the age of Leo is an age that has come around to this planet several times, but it still only lasts for 2,000 years, as each age does last. You understand that?
Somewhat.
See, like, the Atlantean civilization did not just last for 2,000 years.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't here for just the age of Leo. It was a very, very old civilization, and it lasted for 24,000 years during one segment. It lasted for much longer than that during another segment.
Well, my question is, I want to know if, now that we're moving into Pisces now, how will it change? How can it be better than what happened before?
Well, we're moving out of Pisces.
So forth.
We're moving out of Pisces into Aquarius right now. The age of Pisces is over. Now we're into the age of Aquarius, which creates more clarity, more humanitarianism, technology for humanity's sake, and all the better qualities of the Aquarian ethic. I got to go. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. I ran out of time. Doug and Jerry, can you call back tomorrow, please?
Yeah, okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Remember, rising sign astrology is where it's at, so know your rising. Get involved in the Astrology Hour. Your funds will go to help support this show and keep it on the air. We'll see you real soon, weekdays, on KFOX 93.5 FM at 12 noon. Have a nice day. Bye, everybody.